What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast, I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still live?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're gonna keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like the end is
staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the What Is TWS podcast. As always, I am J.Dot Flan, and across from me is my brother, Rich Nerd.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since we had like a Flan Rich episode. It's been guests, and you know, Rich been out of commission, you know, some medical issues to attend to. I wish I could post them pictures you sent us on the group. From after the dentist,
though. Man, I was looking horrible.
We better never beef. Them shits.
The ones the next day, man. Renee's mom came over and she was like, "Are you okay? I saw that picture. You didn't look too good." And I'm like, "I mean, I was out of commission. Shit, I was fucked up."
Yeah, from the look of your face, I can only imagine the shit that you were saying in the car ride home. That's the video I want to see. Somebody should have caught that joke.
Man. I was like, yeah, before we went in, because somebody had to drive me, so I had Larry do it, and because Renee was at work, and I was like, just don't say nothing stupid in the car, because I'm going to have to say something stupid, and I'm not going to remember saying nothing stupid. It's gonna be bad. Everybody just wanted to have a conversation with me. I'm like, y'all fucked up.
Hey,
strong.
That's how it goes. All right, but yes, this is the White Pants Society. I think this is episode like 70.
Yeah, 70.
Oh, so we like senior citizens in the
for
game.
For real, right, geriatric.
So yeah, episode 70. I guess let's get the business taken care of first. TTCharities.org. Please check out the website. Right now is the Summer of Giving. I finally remember the name of the promotion they got going. It's the Summer of Giving. So you know, when you donate to them, they have different incentives that you'll receive in return for your donation. I know one of them is tickets to the African American History Museum, the Smithsonian, the new museum in DC, which I haven't been to yet. I hear it's quite the experience, but it can be difficult to get those tickets. So right now, you donate toward a good cause, you can get tickets in return. So check out ttcharities.org. Donate anything you can, time, money, clothes, books, repost or retweet, every little bit helps. ttcharities.org.
I gotta ask a question real quick.
All right.
Before we get too far.
All right.
We good?
On what? Oh, yeah. Hold on.
Before I bring out my good material. All right, let's go.
We good. Yeah. I'm a horrible audio engineer, but I actually see like waves right now in the software. So we recording some. Back to the bills. Renascakeys.com. Rena's Cakeys. If you don't know what a cakey is, it is the size and shape of a cookie, but the texture of a cake with flavored icings on them. I know they come in lemon, lime, strawberry, coffee, almond, and there's one I'm forgetting, I believe. But they're all dope. And besides Cakeys, she does everything else. Pies, macaroons, wedding cakes, really elaborately decorated birthday cakes. She did a cake decorated like the Appalachian Trail. It's crazy dope. So anything you need, holla at Rena at renascakeys.com. R-I-N-A-S cakeys.com. And then last but not least, our brother over at celebrityhaircorp.com.
Brother Alex.
Get all of your natural hair extension needs taken care of with the benefit of free shipping and no tax. Can't beat it.
Is that like a so like can you say natural and hair extension?
I mean, because I'm guessing,
do they contradict?
I'm guessing they like actual.
It's like human hair, but
yeah, human hair extensions.
Like so like perfect example. And Renee and I laugh about this one all the time. You go to the supermarket and they sell real imitation crap. So what the fuck is fake imitation crap? I don't get it. So I figure it's one of them things. But all right, cool.
I don't want to know either way. If you put an imitation crab in anything that you serve me, let me know so I can not eat it.
But it's real imitation crab.
If you put an imitation crab in, I don't care if it's real or it's fake. All right, but I guess we're done with that. But what's good? I think you should take the floor, Rich. It's been a minute since we just heard you.
Man, I got two rants. All right. And I don't... they bother me on different levels right now, but I got to get it off my chest. Number one, to Plan's point, like you said earlier, I've been out of commission, went to New York, ended up getting bronchitis. Then I had like a collapsed lower lung, couldn't breathe, couldn't barely talk. Went right from that to a dental issue, got all four of my wisdom teeth pulled, mouth completely wired up, full of stitches, can't eat, can't do nothing, barely talk properly because I'm scared I'm going to pop a stitch.
But you're here, though.
Yeah, so I'm here because...
Won't he do it?
Because I finally popped the stitch.
Oh, all right.
Popped the stitch yesterday. So now I got the bottom right side. It's like flapped over, so the gum is not like closed properly. So now every time I eat, I got to go rinse out shit crazily with the saline solution. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just not going to eat. I'm about to go on a liquid diet. It's just too much work.
That's why you're in here with the Powerade, right?
Yeah, that's why I'm drinking Powerade to replenish my electrolytes as I'm hardly eating. But God damn it, this dental game is real. Like, it's a racket. Like, they get you in there and they be like, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. You take out the top two, you got to take out the bottom two. They force you to do shit. I got like two more appointments to do more shit that don't know if I really need it. But since they suggested it and they had some x-rays up, it's like, fuck it. They know better than me, but God damn, it's like the doctors too. You'd be perfectly healthy until you actually go to the doctor. All of a sudden, they find some shit. Like 25 years, you'd be good. All of a sudden, you go to the doctor and you got a growth in the flu.
Damn. Doctor right now because if they tell me, Flan, you can't handle more bacon, I'm like, kill me now. Like, just go ahead. Like, just let's start making arrangements because I'm going to eat it. They say, Flan, you can't drink any more squirt. Pause.
That's what I'm saying. Like, is the more you know really good for you? Yeah, I don't know.
I want to enjoy my life. I know people are saying, like, you're not going to enjoy your life because you're risking the quality of life. Like, at some point, all this shit is going to catch up with you. And I don't know. I just want to be happy for as long as I can. And some things, and bacon and sodas, well, just particularly a grapefruit soda. It makes me happy.
I like pop. I've never really been a big bacon fan. Yesterday, I did have a bacon cheeseburger, though.
Hold. See, I like, yeah, you be glazing over shit. Like, you just say it and keep moving. Like, we're not going to talk about that. You're from the East Coast. What the fuck is pop? What the fuck is pop?
You know what pop came from?
That's a
motherfucking
Midwest.
Yeah, motherfucking Renee.
Yeah.
Every time I'm at home.
So you just giving up your East Coastness for it?
Every time I'm at home, it's like, yo, I need a soda real bad. I need some Coke or something. She's like, oh, well, let's go get some pop. And then here go Larry. Oh, yeah, I got pop. And then here go Sharon. Oh, I want some pop too. And then here come Patrice. Oh, pop.
But do they know what a pop is on the East Coast? If I say, let's go get some pop, we talking about a completely different
situation. Yeah, because I'm completely different.
Completely different situation.
So now it's like, fuck it. You hear it so much. And it's killing me, damn it.
All right, my bad. But you said you had two rants.
No, the other one, these motherfucking barbershops in Texas. Every it's like every other block I'm driving home, you see barbershop. Cool. But they're all white barbershops. They don't cut the Negro head. Like, they don't know how to give me a dark Caesar against the grain with a shape up and a fade and a tape up on it. They don't know how to do all that. Finally, once in a while, you get like a good barbershop. I had a few good people recommend good barbershops to me.
Yeah.
Why the fuck are the black barbershops not open on Sunday? Sunday or Monday?
Do they do that in New York? Because I'll never know.
No.
Yeah.
They don't do that in New York. Yeah, I can go to a liquor store on Sunday in New York. I can go get a Fifth of Absolute and a shape up in New York on Sunday.
I say, yeah. In D.C., they most of the time they close. Like, barber's weekend is Sunday or Monday. And the ones that work Sunday or Monday, then they probably don't work Wednesday. Like, you know, like they going to work Saturday. That's the money day. You know, but yeah, I'm accustomed to barbershops not being open on Sunday.
They open on Sunday in New York. That's the weekend. I don't really have time to go during the week.
Yeah.
So I got to catch it on the weekend. And then everybody knows once the weekend hits, Saturday, Friday night, you're automatically hanging out because you're trying to relieve that steam, make up for the rest of the week. Saturday, you got to get all your errands out the way because shit closed down on Sunday. You can't do errands on Sunday because
you need that fresh cut for the Saturday evening activity, unless you got started Friday night.
I mean, my Saturday activities was me, Gatorade, and some soup that I ate like three spoonfuls of because I couldn't chew it. So, like, I needed a cut for work, couldn't get a cut nowhere. I'm like, God damn it. So I pulled up.
I feel the frustration, but yeah, I can't let you put that one on Texas. I think that's a lot of places.
No, I'm not blaming Texas. I'm blaming barbershops in general. They need to be open, damn it. Oh, and this is what got me pissed off at the barbershop. I'm going to end it after this. This is what got me pissed off at barbershop training. I told you earlier, trying to go to Hair Lounge. Shout out to Hair Lounge because they're actually good peeps over there. They do good work. They do good hair. But you go online.
Clipper beast.
You go to everybody's profile. One dude don't work certain days. Other dude don't work the certain days. And then one dude works the days, but then he only works like a subset of those goddamn ones. 2 hours here, 2 hours there. And then the other guys. Nobody works a full schedule. The only one with a full schedule is Drew.
Drew ain't taking no more
Drew time. Got a full schedule. You go to his calendar, it's like, book me now. All types of space for booking. But then big ass letters. No new clients. You the only one working?
Don't trust them new nigga.
How you the only one working and you not taking clients?
Hey, God, what's that Drake joint? No new friends or whatever?
God, damn. That's exactly. As soon as I read it, it played in my head. No new friends. No new friends. I was like, God damn.
Right, so if that's your rant, Rich, you know, in the vein of being a light, I see we've established a need, right? So then we need to open a barbershop and be the only motherfucking barbershop open on Sunday. Get all that good.
I said we open that, Sundays only.
Get that church money. Get all that good church money. Let's do it, Rich.
Only open on Sundays, folks.
So it could be a completely different business for the rest of the week. It could be a church of chicken or something for the rest of the week, and then we cut hay on Sunday.
Man. Gotta make some money.
I'm full of ideas.
Gotta make some money.
Full of ideas. I'm broke, but I'm full of ideas. Hey, man. For me, the only thing I want to talk about is something I missed on the last episode I did. Because I was all over the place on that episode. I wasn't in a good frame of mind. Like, life had beat me down a little bit. But feeling better now. But I talked about OJ. And I talked about OJ before when we mentioned, who are we talking about? And I was like, they about to pull a OJ. It might have been Bill Cosby. And I was like, you know, once, if you go to court for something horrible and you win, you innocent, you're supposed to find a place in the world where nobody can find you and disappear and never be heard from. You should never get a jaywalking ticket. We should not know you exist ever again. I don't even know how R. Kelly dodged all the shit that came his way. Like, I don't even remember him going to court. Like, I think he went to court, and then he just stopped going to court. I don't remember there being like a verdict.
It went away quick.
It wasn't no verdict. It wasn't no nothing. He was just at court one day, and the next day it was like, ain't no more court. We ain't going to do that no more. It's like, why won't you go away, my nigga? Like, just go away. Like, never be seen again. You got enough money to probably disappear someplace. Go to Thailand. Don't they let you do like kid shit over in Thailand?
All that shit.
Like, go somewhere where this shit is legal and ain't nobody gonna look at you funny. You know what I mean? I don't know whether he's accused of being of doing right now or not. It just, to me, makes no sense that we talking about you again in the same, like, in the same. At least let it be a new crime that you commit. And I get that. I get at the OJ. Like, OJ went from murder to armed robbery or kidnapping or some shit.
Spread his wings.
You know what I'm saying? He diversified. He diversified his bonds. But don't come back up in the news for the same shit. Like, because at this point, it's hard to keep saying you didn't do some of it.
And I'm anxious to see how this turns out. Because, first of all, how did this leak? You know, I'm trying to figure out how to, like,
A girl escaped. I think the parents of one of the girls, I don't know if she escaped or she just got released. I don't know how it works, Rich. I don't know how the sex cult works. But
my thing is, Bill Cosby, I guess, supposedly drugs someone and has sex with them. Several someones and has sex with them. Rake through the mud, case. Just like you said.
Yeah.
R. Kelly has a fucking cult and no case, like nothing's coming out. Like, is he above the law? Like, at this point, it's only ever been slander.
Yeah.
For the last couple of days. And We know about Aaliyah. You know, it was in the movie.
Yeah.
It was in books. Like, so we know he did that. He got caught doing that. We know how old she was and how old he was. We seen him pissing on people. So we know what his nasty ass was motherfucking doing. But why is there no, there's proof and imagery of him doing it. Nobody follows up. There's hearsay of Bill Cosby and he dragged through the coals. I don't get it.
Maybe he did go to court for something. I don't know what it was for. I'm just, I, I don't, I don't know, man. I just...
Is R. Kelly even speaking, like, out against it or denying anything? Or
I think somebody from his camp has said, you know, these are flat-out lies or whatever. But I do think this goes back to what was said on the Carmichael show. I love that show. I'm so sad it's gone. But he was saying, like, talent trumps morals. All the shit that Michael Jackson got accused of. I say it in air quotes. Accused of. Ain't nobody gonna ever stop playing Michael Jackson. You ain't gonna never get in no trouble for playing Michael. You ain't gonna go someplace and they throw on Rock With You or something and you be like, oh, I'm leaving because y'all playing Michael Jackson. Fuck no, you gonna dance. And it's probably the same thing with R. Kelly. Like, I'm not a big fan of his music. Like, I don't really enjoy R. Kelly music. That's another one of my Black Car Revolt issues. I'm not a big R. Kelly fan. But I feel like...
But he's a...
Yeah, no matter what he does, somebody put on Step in the Name of Love, ain't nobody gonna get mad at it. I think Bill Cosby had just reached a point where the stuff he did in his heyday of talent was so far gone, so far
it's
in
like,
the back.
What have you done for me lately? That, just being
like,
outweighed.
That there were new folks. There were folks that don't know who Bill Cosby is. And like, oh, but he raped some people, you know. If it's R. Kelly and you still know what R. Kelly did, it's people like...
He's still relevant.
Like, did he
rape some reason, he's still relevant.
But he puts out step music, though. I don't know.
All right, since you mentioned it...
All right.
Do you think Michael did it? I remember being on the fence. Like, did Michael rape them little boys? Did he not rape them? First of all,
this is not gonna be popular. Shit, I'm about to get in trouble again. All right, so so everything we've seen about Michael Jackson showed that like he really didn't have the traditional childhood, and as an adult with you know the money and the resources he had, it seemed like he was trying to recreate a childhood. Now, we all know that you get a bunch of little kids unsupervised in the wrong place. There's going to be one of them that's like, we should touch wieners. It's like, there's going to be one little weird fucking kid that don't have experience with his body and trying to learn things. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe Mike was that kid. Maybe at 50 years old, he is just reaching that point in his sexual development that he was that kind of kid. Like that's really the only way I could see him doing this stuff.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm probably gonna get in trouble too because I'm on board with that. You know, because I don't agree with the fact of him having all these kids over at his house having sleepovers.
Yeah.
But then again, what kind of parent is like, you know what? Go spend a night with this dude. It's okay. I'll see you later, babe.
It was Michael Jackson, though. It was motherfucking Michael Jackson.
I got to sleep at Michael's house. And you got all types of clowns and theme parks. And I'm going to have a sleepover with the kids.
Don't pretend like you don't remember how cool. And it was for no reason. Like, when I think about it now, like, why was Michael Jackson like the epitome of cool? The stuff he was doing was so like almost flamboyant. Yeah. But it was the coolest shit, I remember that.
This dude was walking around with a monkey named Bubbles.
I remember that the Way You Make Me Feel video. Mm-hmm. He got on a fucking Clam Diggers or whatever, High Waters, and a shirt that's like tied up in the front, like some stuff that if a regular dude was wearing that,
couldn't get away with it at all.
But he was pulling like the baddest joint in the video when he was humping the ground, and we was like, this is the coolest nigga of all time. Do you realize how cool Mike was? He was wearing Captain Crunch suits, and we all thought that it was amazing. He had glitter.
And it goes back to the point you just made, the fame. You get to a certain level of fame and
Trumps,
talent.
All that.
There's other people, like Prince. Look at the shit Prince was doing. This Prince had on high heels, perfectly arched eyebrows, face full of blush.
Blouse.
Took him on. And he was pulling all the girls.
All the girls.
Prince would take your wife.
Yeah. And everybody loved Prince. I told you.
Prince will walk in a room looking like your wife and take your wife.
I think I told you my Prince story. I ran into Prince one time. I tell the story all the time because I'm like, I ran into Prince. Made me feel important. But I was working for, Homeland Security. So I was in like the airports and the international section of the airports, like replacing the customs terminals. We was giving them like all new machines with the new software. And all that. And Prince is coming in off a flight or whatever he's coming in off of. That was the first time I realized like how tiny this dude was. Like he was, I think he had on some pretty decent platforms and he was still shorter than me. Like he still wasn't my height, you know.
Dang.
And he had these big dudes with him, like three or four, like really big black dudes with him in suits. And this one, like she was like Asian chick that was with him. And I remember wanting to like say something to him and say, you know, hello, I'm a big fan or whatever, whatever. But you could tell from the look in the big dude's eyes that you might not want to walk over there right now. And then I was watching him, and he's talking to the customs agent. Well, the customs agent is talking to him. They're asking him questions. The customs agent would ask him a question. He would lean over, whisper in the Asian girl's ear, and then she would answer the question.
Damn.
That's my Prince experience. That's my whole story. It wasn't entertaining at all, but I felt good for getting it out.
Fuck it, it was Prince.
Fuck it, though. All right.
Since we're talking about famous people we met.
All right.
I sold a pair of Converse to Travis McCoy.
Who the fuck is
Travis? You don't know who Travis McCoy? Damn, Jared.
Who the fuck is what? What's the first name again?
Travis.
All right, yeah. All right. First, you got to explain who it was, and then you can go. I Google it. My bad. Travis McCoy.
You don't know Travis. Dreamcast Heroes?
I know who LaShawn McCoy is. Is Travis McCoy the handlebars dude? Is that the handlebars
dude? The dude on Billionaire with Bruno Mars? To sing that song, take a look at my girlfriend.
I recognize him now looking at the picture, but he was never anyone important enough for me to have known their name. That sounds fucked up, but it's true.
All right, so I met Jennifer Love Hewitt, but nobody cares about her.
But Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Who cares about Jennifer Love Hewitt?
She could, you know, back in the day, she could have got it.
I met her when she was filming
Party,
that.
Party of Five, Jennifer Love Hewitt. Yeah.
I met her when she was screening that one show, though, about ghost and paranormal shit.
Oh, yeah. She was like the ghost whisperer.
Yeah, so I when she came in, I thought like she was bringing them niggas with her. So I was like, she's like, hello. And I was like, they'll get you right over there, man. Don't talk to me. Fucking supernatural motherfucker.
All right.
But anyway.
All right. So what's going to be our main topic? You want to get into this?
I mean, we can. Happened a few days ago. Why not?
All right.
And then I'll talk about some BS, I guess, afterwards.
All right. So Linkin Park frontman Chester Bennington committed suicide this week. Hung himself. So I haven't heard anything more than that, other than the fact that he committed suicide and it was by hanging. Like, have they talked about, did he leave a note with like, you know, reasons for, did anybody see this coming?
I haven't seen anything.
I didn't realize he's 41 though. Damn.
Yeah, I know. I was thinking the same thing, but then at the same time, it's like, eh. I mean, they've been out for so long that it's like, why not? Because they're definitely older than me. But yeah, so I haven't heard anything about a note being left or anything like that. But I mean, several stories are circulating, and he's done several interviews over the years. He's talking about his abuse of alcohol consistently, his abuse of drugs consistently. And he's always said, you know, I admit it, it's wrong. I know it's wrong. It's not making me feel any better. It's not doing me any better. But, yeah. I mean, it's my vice. It's my addiction right now. What do you want me to do? He's openly talked about the fact that he was beaten and molested and raped as a child. And that's something that he's always needed help with. He said himself, like, when that happens to you, what else would you do? Fucking do drugs and alcohol. You know, so he's been self-medicating for so long, and I think he just finally reached a point where it was like he couldn't deal with it anymore. Yeah. And on top of that, one of his best friends, the front man and lead singer on Soundgarden, Chris Cornell, he hung himself and committed suicide back in May.
Yeah.
So 2 months later. Yeah,
it's crazy and it's sad. Like, because I think the part that hits home for me is like a lot of times like that, and I try to tell this to my nephew, because my nephew I think is extremely talented, but has a lot mentally holding him back. Like, he can't get past certain things and it's kind of holding him back. But a lot of that, like, amazing art that we get typically comes from these places of like deep pain and suffering, like, you know, and you almost can't get that content, that art, that music mm-hmm. without, you know,
without that. So it's without like that a sacrifice. Catch 22, yeah.
It's like a catch 22. And then I know, like, just in these situations with alcohol and stuff, it becomes like a cycle. Like you do it because you're depressed or you're down or you're trying to cope with something, and then you've done it and that upsets you. You know, I'm here again. I'm at this low point again because I've abused these things, and then that makes you depressed, which makes you go back to your coping mechanism.
So it's always a cycle.
It becomes a self-fulfilling cycle. Like you can't get out of it without reaching out for help.
And then it's always sad. Excuse me. Damn. When you finally get to the point where it's like you feel like you can't take it anymore, and being dead or taking your life feels like the best option, better. Like when it comes to the fact that like being dead and just ceasing to exist sounds like a better option than living. Like I can't fathom that. And I was reading an article the other day and they said that they did a study out of, I forget the exact figures, but it's something like basically say 1,000 people who try to commit suicide. Out of those 1,000 people, like some might jump off a bridge or something. Out of those people, like you might get 10-15% that live.
Yeah.
You know, they'll live, but now they have like a broken leg, ankle, like whatever the injury was, or whatever, however they tried to commit suicide. But then the vast majority of people who tried to commit suicide, the first thing they always say upon speaking to everybody was immediately after they jumped or sliced or you know, pulled the rope or did whatever they did, that split second afterward, when they think, like in hindsight, you know, time basically like slows down, they're like, oh shit, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
It wasn't worth it. Because, you know, when you're going through it, it's hard to think about anything outside of that pain and misery. And we've all been there at a point of heartache and depression, and you're just going through something and you just feel so bad in that moment. A lot of people are able to go through it, but even more are able not to see the light on the other end of that tunnel. You know, so imagine having a world where that's just your life every day. You know, how do you help those people to see the light or to convince them that, hey, there is a light, however minuscule, and, you know, to get help?
I mean, I think people really have to, because it's hard for folks. And I don't want to say I've been where he was. I think if I'd actually been where he was, I wouldn't be here today, but mm-hmm. I've been someplace close, and it was probably, you know, it was probably like you said, like that moment right after you get ready to take that step where you have that little bit like, you know, like you're not as serious about dying as you thought you mm-hmm. were. Like you don't know that you're ready to die until you try to die.
You just don't want this existence.
Yeah, and then you realize I'm about to die. Like, you know, like you don't know about death. Like, you know, we watch movies where somebody got a gun to somebody's mm-hmm. head and we be like, I would have done it, and you don't know.
That's what I'm saying. You
what
can't,
the feeling is like, so that I'm about to die.
You can't
until
fathom
you
like
to
death.
Die.
Like,
I was watching this movie once, and it was about suicide, and I think like this kid tried to slit his wrist or something in the bathtub, and one of the people pointed out is that he had two razors on the bathtub, and he's like, he got two razors because he was afraid that, you know, in the middle of it, he would get so weak that he would drop it, you know, and he wanted to be able to finish. And he's like, how much do you have to hate life that you bring a backup razor?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Damn. You have to understand when somebody is at that point, like, that. And I think, you know, at my lowest points, probably the thing that saved me was that I'm a punk and I don't want to feel no pain. Cause I was like, I ain't gonna jump off shit because I'm afraid I'd pick a thing that just wasn't high mm-hmm. enough and I'd just be fucked up for the rest of my life. Or I don't have the money to buy a gun, and then what if I miss? I done heard too many stories about like people trying to shoot themselves mm-hmm. in the head and then being fucked up for the rest of their life. So I was like, all of the options that felt like they would be certain, like there's a risk of too much pain. Yeah. If I could slip away into the night, that'd be something different. But yeah, but so when you get past that, to hate life that much that you can get past that fear of pain or that fear of the experience of dying, you have to understand that that's where somebody is when they do something like this, and you don't get there overnight. Like that's
it takes time.
That's a long process.
So then it's like, you know, what do you do? Like, how do you? Because at some point, obviously, they're functional. They're so good at masking it. Like, what do you do? Like, how do you recognize those signals, you know, like because they're so good at masking it. And it's like people subconsciously cry out for help all the time, you know, all the time. You and I talk on a regular basis, and I'm grateful that you and I have a friendship to where, you know, if I'm going through something, I can say like, yo, Jared, I'm really fucked up right now. I need to talk to somebody.
Yeah.
And I can tell you those things, or you can tell me those things, vice versa. But a lot of people just don't have anyone to talk to. And I think we were talking about this story the other day, and just speaking about the fact that other people like him, and they do these things, and they just feel so alone, and like they don't have anyone to reach out to. So they, you know, take things into their own hands. And it's just the same thing. He had a wife and six kids. And with that many people in the house, plus maids, servants, friends, family, all surrounding you, the fact that you can still feel lonely enough to where you don't have anyone to talk to because you don't think that they will understand.
When you cross the lines to starting to believe that these people would be better off without you.
Yeah, that's...
Like, you know, I think a lot of times we, you know, we get so upset and we vilify people that commit suicide. Like, how could he do that to his family? How could he do that to his kids? How could he leave them alone like that? You know, there reaches a point where you really start to hate yourself enough that you believe that people will be mm-hmm. better off with you not around. And so, yeah, I'm afraid, you know, of folks coming out and having like, you know, mean, hurtful things to say about this situation because...
Yeah, that's what I told you. I've been staying away from social media because it's the wrong time. It's stuff like this you don't take lightly. And like you, to your point, they do vilify people when they commit suicide. And I don't think it's a time for vilification. Like, you need to be trying to understand the person's mindset and what pushed them to that level. And then how do we help the family and loved ones that are there now?
Yeah, how do you prevent it from happening to someone else? You know, I don't know. Yeah, I say it all the time. My wife literally saved my life. Like, she was the person that, you know, in my lowest moments was like, I'm not going anywhere, even when you're trying to get rid of me. Like, you, mm-hmm. I see you trying to get rid of me. I see you trying to push me away so that you could be alone enough to justify what you want to do. And, you know, she just refused, you know. Got my mom involved, got other people around me involved. And, you know, and now I'm in a space where, you know, I can have those moments, but that's not an option for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I love my daughter to death. I couldn't imagine, you know, not being here to see certain things, you know, happen for her. But I can also understand a person that reaches a point when they think that they're detrimental to their children, that them being around and their children having to deal with who they are might be more harmful than good. And that's when you can make a decision like this. It's just like you said, like trying to find ways to look at his life or look at, you know, these last couple months or even beyond that and just see what the signs were, see what the warning mm-hmm. signs were, see where the moments where somebody could have stepped in and helped him. But and even beyond that, for people who are feeling like that, like Rich said, there are so many people who go through this and so many people who attempt suicide and are still alive. You know, you're not, whatever it is you're dealing with, you're not the only one dealing mm-hmm. with. And they are, you know, so never think that you're the most horrible person in the world or you're unworthy of whatever. There are, I guarantee there are millions of people who've probably, you know, gone through it and came out the other side better. You know, so if you can, you know, reach out and just talk, or you know, I'll do my best to share, you know, all the shit that's happened to me so that someone just knows that it's possible to keep going. You know, it ain't easy, it ain't fun all the time, but it's possible to keep going.
It definitely is.
And turn it into art.
Art.
Yeah. I think Talib Kweli got an interlude on one of his albums where the dude is like, you know, things in life aren't always going to go the way you want them to. Business, friends, love, mm-hmm. money, you know, and in those times where things are at their worst, that's the time to make art. Write a book, write a story, write a song, write a poem, paint a picture, draw something, do a sculpture, yeah, whatever.
Channel that energy into something.
And I'm telling you that some of the greatest, most beautiful things we've ever experienced in life have come from people that were in pain. Off my soapbox, find something better.
Deep. Alright, so this isn't really important. I just want to get your opinion on this. So Nike, well not Nike, but some of the, so start forgetting. Nike got the official NBA contract, so they're not only making the college uniforms,
but the NFL uniforms
and not the NBA.
I saw they revealed the new NBA uniforms. I was like, these look like
the old NBA uniforms. So it's slight differences. Slight notable differences. Like they got rid of the t-shirt form factor, which sucks.
That shit sucked.
I don't know. I kind of like them.
I hated that shit.
I don't know if I would have wore them, but I kind of like them. I think they look dope. But they're going back to just regular traditional jersey. There's no more home and away and hold on, let me look it up to see what exactly they're calling it. Because
so
there's
going to be one colorway all season long or something?
No, so it's different ones, but they're not calling it home and away. They're calling it something different. So they're calling it, so what we know as a home jersey, which is traditionally like the light jersey or the white jersey, they're calling the Association Edition. What we know as the away jerseys or the darker colors or black colors, they're calling the Icon Edition.
All right, hold on. Whoever made that decision at Nike, go kill yourself.
And then they have two alternates. So the first alternate is called the Athlete's Mindset. So built with the athlete in mind, using their feedback and stuff like that, what they want to see, what they want to wear. And then the last one is called the Community, which is inspired by the community's feedback.
I'm just envisioning myself going and like, not that I ever have bought a jersey, but I can't go to like Foot Locker now and be like, yo, can I get that Athlete's Mindset?
That's what I'm saying. I need the Icon ASAP.
I need that Wizards Community joint though. Like, pull that down.
So the reason why they said they're doing this is because they noticed over the past couple of years, you know, the NBA has been changing rules left and right. They're so fucking lenient now, it's ridiculous. At one point, Michael Jordan couldn't wear a pair of shoes with black and red. Now your shoes had to match. Your shoes had to either be white or black.
Yeah.
Then your shoes had to match your uniform. Now you wear whatever the fuck you want. Yeah. So it's been changing so much, and because the teams are choosing more and more not to wear the home uniform, like you'll be at home, and instead of wearing the white uniform, the Lakers want to wear the yellow and gold or the blue or the something else, but they never want to wear the white. Like, fuck it, let's just do away with it. You know, let's not have them have to wear home uniforms. So,
I guess I disagree with trying to come up with this weird nomenclature. Like,
call
it the purple joint. You got the gold, the purple, the gold.
So,
and
I'm with you on that because so two things are going to happen. One, now people are gonna have to memorize the nomenclature and all the different names.
Yeah.
But two, because teams aren't obligated to wear home jerseys when they're home and away jerseys when they're away, and they can wear whatever they want. How do you keep track? Like, are you gonna, you know what I'm saying? You can't do it ahead of time. I don't know next week, Monday, how I'm gonna feel. Therefore, I can't tell you right now that I'm gonna wear my home jersey or my away jersey for our game next month.
Yeah.
So the day before, everybody has to decide, or every time you do something, the teams just have to bring all of their uniforms and be willing to switch last minute because you don't know, I'm going to wear my dark because I'm traveling, or I'm going to wear my light because I'm home. Because now everybody can wear whatever the fuck they want.
I think it's still the home team had, like, the home team gets to say, this is what we're wearing.
No, but that's what I'm saying.
You have to adjust.
Yeah, so it's the same thing. But what I'm saying is, you can change it. So because it's not home team,
yeah,
I have to wear my home jersey, so I'm going to wear light. So you just bring all your dark uniforms when you travel. Home team can do whatever they want. So now when we're traveling, we have to bring our dark uniform, our light uniform, and our two alternates, because you have until the last minute to say what you want to wear for tonight.
Hey, here's my feeling on that. I hope equipment managers across the league start getting paid more. And I really had no sympathy for what these billion-dollar corporations, basically these teams, are have to go through. So if they gotta now manage bringing an entire arsenal of uniforms every time they go someplace,
now you gotta carry four uniforms plus two alternates, plus these bougie ass players want to have extra shoes to match the motherfucking alternates.
For what? You have to pay for playoff tickets. Yes, you gotta carry all of them, and you just have to bring your own basketball. I don't know, come up with some more rules for shit they got to carry and pay the equipment manager more.
So I thought that shit was
great. Let's make some more jobs.
That on top of the fact that now Nike's honoring advertising on uniforms.
Yeah.
So I think it's only 9 teams to begin with have like official advertisements But they're probably going to be looking to expand. But now you got to be looking at the uniform, and then so now you got the uniform, and then you got the patch on top, whatever organization that they're doing, plus whatever advertising we're doing, yeah. Plus if the team captain, he got that crap, plus whatever ribbon that they got for whatever. You know what I mean? It's too much. They're going to start looking like soccer jerseys and
all
shit.
All it's going to do for me is, like I said, I never was a guy who bought jerseys.
Yeah, but now it's like, I'm definitely not going
to. Now I'm absolutely not going to buy a jersey. It's
too much.
I'm already a walking billboard for whatever team it is that I want to support. But I'm not going to also advertise Nike and
that's what I'm saying. Goodyear tires. So, exactly. And the Nike swoosh on the damn jerseys is big as hell. So now it's like, damn. Now when I want to go outside and I want to rep the Golden State Warriors, I got to rep the Golden State Warriors. Plus, I got to rep Nike. Yeah. If you're a Cleveland fan, you got to rep Cleveland.
And LaVitra plus rep Nike. They put on
them. And then they're a Goodyear fan. What if I don't like Goodyear tires? What if I like Michelin?
Wonder Bread, whatever it
is. So I work at the Michelin factory, but I can't wear my jersey to work.
Here's an alternative for you, Rich. Get yourself some What Is TWS gear. It'll only ever be one logo on that one. Hey, rock TWS. It out. We need to make some jerseys. Let's do it.
Shit. See, crazy.
Identify a need, fill the need, Rich. This is what we're doing today. We opening barbershops on Sunday, and we dropping new jerseys with, like, no logos whatsoever. Whatever. I don't know. We're going to work it out.
Shout out to What Is TWS. If anybody in the NBA is listening to this, if you want What Is TWS to sponsor your motherfucking jersey,
we in it.
Let us know.
We in it. We will put the logo on the back of your jersey right now. Hey, all right. So on this NBA jersey, whatever tip, pause. Lonzo Ball, right? So we got the Big Baller brand, right? And he wore the Big Baller shoes, I think, two games of the Summer League.
Yeah, but and then he's been next, all Nike, right?
Nah. Then he went Nike, Adidas, and Under Armour for the next three games. So
what, he trying to do, shop around?
So LeVar comes out and says this. He wants to show like Kobe was signed to, Nike. Kobe was Nike. What was Kobe? I don't know.
Adidas, then he was Nike.
Yeah, all right. So Kobe, whoever he was, whatever. And so that means whoever he's signed to can dictate to him what shoes he has to wear. Mm-hmm. Pretty much what gear he has to wear in totality. Like he can't walk out with some Adidas and a Nike jumpsuit on.
No.
You got to rock the whole mm-hmm. Adidas thing. He's saying that Lonzo, because they their own brand, can do whatever he wants to do. If he wants to wear the Big Baller shoes, he can wear the Big Baller shoes. But if he don't feel like wearing Big Baller tonight and he want to wear Under Armour tonight, he can rock the Under Armour.
And that's just
and that's where
stupid.
He's like above mm-hmm. everybody else.
He's not above everybody else.
He's his own
else.
Brand.
That's stupid.
But what some people are saying he's actually trying to do is just show these other brands, because they're still saying that they're open to a deal.
Yeah, he's trying to go with someone into a deal. Yeah.
Right. So he's like, so look what happens when Lonzo wears your shoes. Look what happens when Lonzo
exactly.
wears your
That's
shoes.
That's exactly right. What's happening.
So he's just giving everybody like a trial view. Like, is this dude the craziest father of all time? Like, a great father. Don't get me wrong. Great father. Those are goals that I have if Elise ever decides to play.
I'm going to support you to 100% yep. fullest, but sometimes it's like,
is he crazy or is he just
sit your
a
ass
fucking
down,
genius? Because he might get this Billy. He been asking for a Billy for the family. It might happen.
He not going to get that Billy.
You don't think so?
Lonzo ain't worth no Billy.
And Lonzo was balling a little bit. I don't like that.
His little brother been disappointing.
I don't like that 6-for-21. You got a triple-double, but you went 6-for-21. But Lonzo been balling a little bit. I don't know. LeVar may just... I feel like there is a method to his madness. Like, it's not just purely, I'm the weirdest motherfucker you've ever met.
Like, I gotta wait and see. I gotta see what Lonzo does against
actual
real players,
NBA competition.
Like, real yeah. players.
I don't know. This is shaping up to me to be an exciting year. Like, I think we're finally gonna get a good look at Ben Simmons. Lonzo is in the league. Was it Danny Smith Jr. Mm-hmm. looking like a moth, dunking on everybody in the summer league?
See the thing I like though, those players, they're just sitting back, they're being quiet, they're honing their game, they're showing out. But they're doing what they got to do. Lonzo is playing, but then he got his father out here talking shit. Oh, you're better than Steph. He's better than Steph Curry. All that's going to do is, as soon as the game come up, Steph going to smack this dude's ass. So, you're better than LeBron. As soon as he plays LeBron, LeBron's going to light that ass on fire.
He might already have that Billy by that point. Like, is it about the legacy of the... Because if it was about the legacy of the game and being the best player you could possibly be, we wouldn't be having these conversations. But LeVar, it sounds like LeVar is trying to capitalize. Like, yeah, maybe he might be the best player.
He's trying to
going to get every cent we can get out of whatever potential he has. So,
and he has right now. He has no choice but to push as hard as he's doing, because if Lonzo turns out to be a bust and he can't do what he's being billed to do,
they already got their check.
They have reason to not give it to them. He needs to get as much as he can right now. Excuse me. So win or lose, he already got the money. But with that being said, he's still setting this dude up, because you're not going to be on a court with him. That's like when your parents drop you off at school and then your mom want to kiss you right before you walk in. You setting that kid up. He's setting him up for failure. You know, he's going to have everybody in the lead attacking this dude.
I think he's going to be a good player. I don't know if he's going to, I don't believe he's going to be better than Magic. But, you know, the crazy thing is I was watching a YouTube video last night, and it's like before last season, they were showing all the clips of people saying, and this is before like Russell Westbrook even got close, but just clips from decades ago and from past players saying how Oscar Robertson's record was untouchable. It was never going to be broken. Impossible. Not going to happen. And then
everything is up for breaks, but
shit happened.
It stood for a while.
Lonzo could happen. It could happen. I doubt it, but it could happen. I don't want to be one of them clips where they was like, here's Flan saying Alonzo was going to be some ass from day one.
The way his dad builds it, he's going to be Magic Johnson from day one. And I just don't, that's definitely not going to happen. Look how he's playing. I don't know.
I mean, it's going to be an interesting season. I'm ready for football, though. It's football time. All right, Colin, hurry up and cut your hair so you can get a job. You know, when Vic speaks, people listen.
I don't think he's gonna get picked up. It's over for him.
It's over for him, and it's sad. And I want
to stop giving money away.
I'm trying to remember who somebody called for the boycott. It was somebody prominent, and I can't think of who it was. And I want to back that and be like, yo, if Colin don't get a job, I'm boycotting.
It's not gonna happen.
But I'm not gonna do it. I'm planning a fantasy draft party for my wife's birthday already. Like, Saturday, September 2nd.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't found a venue yet, but we're doing it again. And it's, I mean, the draft party is a part of the party.
Yeah, I thought her birthday was the week after.
No, her birthday is the 3rd.
Oh, shit. That's supposed to be Nola.
Oh, shit. God damn it.
You gonna see? Y'all gotta empty these text messages. We gotta figure it out.
Decisions to make. Yeah, that's the Tammy's birthday is the 3rd. Yeah, so I'm supposed to be doing like a draft party for her birthday. Maybe I can get everybody going. All right. Anyway, I think that's enough time.
We've been yapping.
I think it's been a good episode, though. I appreciate y'all hanging with us for 70 episodes. If you're new to the show.
70?
Yeah. If you're new to the show, please hit us up on iTunes, rate and review, leave a comment.
Definitely. And the 70th person to leave a comment, if you go to Arena's Cakeys and buy a box, you get some cakeys.
60% of the time, it works 100% of the time.
But it is what it is.
All right. But yeah, let me try. I keep trying to figure out the right outro. Like, there's a lot of darkness out there. Fuck it. Just be the light.
Peace.
Peace.